Good morning. Boker Tov, everybody. Welcome. I'm pleased to say that today's shiur has been sponsored by Miriam Esrus in honor of her birthday. Happy birthday, Miriam. Is Miriam here? Okay, happy birthday, Miriam. She should be blessed with good health and simcha, many happy returns, and thank you for the sponsorship. We're always grateful to receive it. So last week, we spoke about praying at Kvarim and using the dead as a way of uplifting and amplifying, if you like, our tefillahs, and we talked about the difficult issues there. Today really is the next stage from that, which is, what about praying through angels? Do we use malachim ever as a means to connect with God? And we'll see, this might sound like a slightly esoteric topic, but actually it's really not. This has been one of the biggest hashkafic philosophical debates and battles in the tefillah, especially in Rosh Hashanah time, for the last 1200 years. And I'd like to chart that debate a little bit with you today and look at some of the implications. We'll see that the stakes are very high on both sides, and I think you'll find it interesting. We don't get a chance often to think about the role of malachim in our lives. And I think that we should, because perhaps they're there more than we think. Maybe every now and then on Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Ashores, but we'll see there's more to it than that. Let's start with number one. Now, I'm not going to ask us to all sing it together. Maybe that will come a bit later. We'll have a kululam. We'll sing the famous nigun. But let's at least start with looking at it. Machnisei Rachamim. Anyone who is in the slichos mood will realize that at the end of every slichos, from now, everybody's saying slichos, through till Yom Kippur, we finish with the following pious. Machnisei Rachamim, those who bring in Rachamim, Hachnisu Rachameinu. You should bring in, Hachnisu, we are appealing to them, to bring in our mercy for us, Lifnei Baal HaRachamim, in front of Baal HaRachamim, in front of Hashem. And it goes on in that vein, Mashmiei Tfilah, those who are able to hear Tfilah, Hashmiu Tfilatenu, project our Tfilahs, Lifnei Shomea Tfilah. And we entreat over these 8 or 9 verses, these 8 or 9 lines, obviously it's not verses from the Tanakh, but in this period we ask the angels to take our tefillahs forward. We don't know exactly who composed Machnisei Rachamim. In many Slichas books you'll see the name Rav Amram Gaon at the bottom. It appears in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon, which is from the 9th century, although that Siddur has been updated and added to over the years, and therefore it's not 100% clear whether it's from the time of Rav Amram Gaon, but it's very, very old. But it's not alone. That's just the most famous case. There is an article that I referred to in the footnotes here by Rav Shlomo Sprecher many, many years ago, where he wrote a very comprehensive analysis of all the tefillahs where we turn to Malachim and ask Malachim to help us. In the Slichos alone, there are 22 different tefillahs, not just Machnisei Rachamim. There was one yesterday in the morning in tefillahs. Outside the tefillahs, there are many, many, many more. I just picked up one here, looking number 2. This is from the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, just before Musaf. I'm sure that's all the time that everyone's paying close attention to what the Shliach Tzibur is saying. He says, the Shliach Tzibur there, Shekol ha-malachim shehen po'alei tefillahs. All these malachim who are the tefillah workers. We'll see what that means soon. Yaviu tefillati lifnei kisei kvodecha. They should bring up my tefillah before the holy throne. V'yafitzu ata lefanecha. And they should lay it out before you, God. Ba'avu kol ha-tzadikim, ha-chasidim, ha-tamim, ha-yisharim, etc. It's a direct appeal by the Shliach Tzibur to the malachim to take the tefillah to Hashem. Okay, beautiful. Very nice. What could be wrong with this? The answer is, the Rambam is absolutely and firmly against it on every level, and we'll see the depth of that concern. The Rambam famously puts together 13 ikrim, 13 principles of faith, and he lists them and he describes them in his introduction to Perek Chelek. I'm sure people are familiar with this. So the Rambam wrote a commentary on the Mishnah when he got to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, which starts Kol Yisrael Yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba, that all Jewish people have a chelek in the place in the world to come. He says, I can't just write a commentary on this. I first have to give you an introduction. And therefore he writes, before Perek Chelek, a very lengthy introduction describing what is olam haba, what does it mean to have a chelek in olam haba, and then he goes on with his commentary. As part of that introduction, he lists 13 principles. These have become very famous. They've been put into poetry. We read them in the Siddur. An Imamin is a later poem which was based on the Rambam. The Rambam didn't write An Imam, the An Imamins themselves, but he wrote the principles. Yigdal, which we all sing in shul, many people sing in shul, is also based. So have a look here at the original. Well, it's not the original. The original is in Arabic. So I decided not to bring that because it would have been embarrassing for you to hear my Arabic and no one would have got much further. I'm sure there are a few people here speak Arabic, but let's look at it in Hebrew. Number three. Hayisod HaChamishi, the fifth principle. Shehu Yitaleh Hu HaRo'i La'avdo LeGadlo. That only God is the one that is suitable to serve, and we'll see what he means by La'avdo, LeGadlo, and to glorify, ULefarsem Gedulato Mishmato, and to publicize the importance and relevance of God. La Yasechein LeMisha Hu Tachtav B'Mitziyut. We may not do that to anyone lower in the pecking order of existence. Min ha-malachim, whether it's angels, ha-kochavim, or the stars, ha-galgalim, the planets, ha-yitzodot, or even the elements of the world, v'chol ma shehurkav mehem, or anything which is made of any of these physical, or even higher than physical, the Rambam understood that the cosmos was made of a different kind of material. I'm not getting into that now, but it's all underneath God. V'fi shehen kulam mutba'im al pu'ulaseihem. Very important words. They're mutba'im. Mutba'im means they're fixed. There's a tether to them. They can't answer your tefillahs. They can't change. They have no choice. The ain shilton lahem. They don't have any jurisdiction. The loy b'chira. They don't have any choice. Mi baladei ritonoi yitalek. Except what God gives them. They're just bureaucrats. Like the people that you meet in the Mishrad HaPlim that say you have the wrong form. You say, but come on. I mean, it's almost a no. I don't care. It's the wrong form. Go back to the queue. Get another number. Wait 3 hours and we'll try again. That's what malachim are. What's the point in asking them? Just like the person in this, it's no point, you can talk. They can't do anything, they just know what to do, they have to stamp the paper. By the way, this is itself a very interesting question. By the way, we'll see soon, there is a malach who is called the Sar HaPnim. You thought that was Aryeh Deri, but it's not. We'll see who the real Sar HaPnim is in a minute. The marshal is quite deep. There is actually a debate as to whether there are malachim that do have choices. And I'm not getting into that now. I made a reference here to Mark Shapiro's famous, perhaps even infamous book, but very interesting book, The Limits of Orthodox Theology, where he goes through each of the Ikarim and he talks about people who disagree with them. He has a whole piece there on the chapter dealing with the fifth Ikar on whether angels can be fallen angels, whether they have choices. Gentleman over here mentioned just before the shir, Lot asks the malachim, can't you just allow me to flee to here, spare this town? And the angels say, oh, okay, for you, we'll do that, etc. It sounds like there are choices being made. But you can read his book for that information. As far as the Rambam is concerned, there's nothing to talk about. The Ein La'asotam Emtsa'im. You cannot make them intermediaries. Bishvil la'hagia elav. In order to get to God. You can't go through the Son to reach the Father. That is the ultimate expression of idolatry for the Rambam. Ela elav yitale yichavnu hamachshavot. Only to God alone should all thoughts be addressed. Everything apart from that should be left aside. This fifth principle, who azara al avodah zara? This is what avodah zara is. V'roiv ha-Torah mezaheret aleha. Very interesting statement. Most of the mitzvahs in the Torah are trying to wean us away from this idea that we can press a magic button, we can speak to the middle management and get what we need. Avodah zara is a little bit like, I go to Walmart and I can't afford to pay $500 for a new washing machine, so I bribe the guy on the checkout. I'll give you 250. You can push it under the, you know, and I'll make everyone's happy. That's avodah zarah. I'm not prepared to deal with the actual honest management itself. I need to deal with someone underneath that. And the Rambam, if you go through the Moreh Nevuchim, where he talks about the Tameh HaMitzvot, in the third part of Moreh Nevuchim, again and again he identifies mitzvahs in the Torah which are designed to take us away from avodah zarah. This kind of avodah zarah. I mean, the Rambam understands in the Ikrim that in the first and the second Ikar, he talks about having all the second and the third an incorrect conception of God. Thinking of God as maybe having a body or God as having aspects or attributes. That's one kind of avodah zarah. But the main problem of avodah zarah, says the Rambam, is not that we think of God in the wrong way. And his negative theology as he developed. So the main problem of avodah zarah is that we use other things to get to God because it's just too much effort to do the real thing. And by the way, next week's shir is going to be about segulas and simanim, which is very much alive amongst us, okay? And looking at that aspect of how these things really work. So, for the Rambam, the whole idea of going through a malach is avodah zarah mamash. I brought you in number 4, I'm not getting into all of the details in it, but this is a famous beginning from the Rambam's Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where the Rambam charts the development of the ideas of avodah zarah. And I'll leave you to read this on your own, but basically he says that originally in the times of Enosh, at the beginning of human history, people began to say, well, if God made the great things in the cosmos, the sun and the moon and the stars and the malachim, presumably we should give them honor, because you give the prime minister honor, the king appoints the prime minister, you give the prime minister honor. That's what God would want. So you start to give them honor, and gradually that idea develops into, well, I can deal with them alone, and then false prophets come along and say, you know something, God wants you to pray to this person, and then Kohanim come along and say, we develop, like false Kohanim from the Avodah Zarah, develop a whole service, and before you look around, you've turned it all into a system of religious thought that deals with the intermediary and the intermediary alone. Then they start to make little getchkas and statues and this and that, and it all develops from that. But the Rambam clearly understands that this intermediary issue is the main problem. Look at number 5. In the halacha, he says, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the main command of Avodah Kochavim, shelot la'avod echad mikol habruim, that we shouldn't serve any of the creations, lo malach, lo galgal, lo kochav, lo echad mi'arba yesod, just like he said in the Ikrim. It doesn't help if you know that really God is in charge. I don't think this statue did anything or does anything. I don't think the malachim really made the world, but it's easier to work through them. It doesn't matter if you know that God is at the top of the chain. It's still a avodah zarah. For who oided anivra azeh, this person worships this created being, al derech she'avod enosh, just like enosh did, v'anshe doro tchila, originally, as we would have seen in number 4, you can read that yourself. Har izeh oived kochavim. This is idolatry. The inyan zeh hu she'izira Torah alav v'amra, pen tisa inecho hashamayma, don't turn your eyes to the skies. V're'ite et ha'shemesh, you might see the sun, asher chalak ha'shem elokecha oitam l'kol ha'amim, which is not for you, you can't be dealing with the sun. V'inin ha'zeh tzivav ha'amah, hishamru lachem pen yivtel avavchem, kloima shaloi tit'u, don't make a mistake, v'hirhur ha'lei. And we'll get to this right now, the way you think in your head, la'avod elu lihiyot sarsur. Don't make them an intermediary, like a wholesale, you know? V'inechem uvein ha'boireh. And it's important to understand this is not just an issue of avodah zarah as a mitzvah. This is a deep philosophical issue. What is prayer? What is tefillah? The Rambam says very clearly, tefillah is using a person's mind to think correctly about God. Just look for a second at these are important sources for the concept of tefillah. Where do we see in the Torah that there's a mitzvah to pray to God? Number 6, Vayam Shmo Tishmu, beginning of the second paragraph of the Shema, is al mitzvah say, Hashem Elohim mitzvah etzkan hayom, that if you want to listen to me today, la'ahava et Hashem Elokeichem, there's a mitzvah to love God, ula'avdo, and to serve God, b'chol levavachem u'b'chol nashchem, with all of your lev. The lev is the mind. The lev always is a word to refer to the mind, the innermost part of the human being. And the Gemara picks up on this, quite a well-known Gemara number 7, the Tanya le'av et Hashem Elokeichem u'la'avdo b'chol levavachem, ezehu avodah shehibalei, what kind of avodah, what kind of service can you do in your head? Service usually means you give something to somebody. You can't give anything to God, physical or otherwise. So what service should you do in your head? This is tefillah. This is tefillah. Uksiv, Basrein, it says, V'natati matarat techem ba'ito, yorel makosh, etc. There'll be a response to that tefillah. And the Rambam understands that as well. Number 8, mitzvah afe lehitpalel. The Rambam understands that there is a positive mitzvah to daven to Hashem. Interestingly, there's a machloikas quite well known between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam, Maimonides understands it as a Torah mitzvah to daven. It's just the words and the structure are all rabbinic. The Ramban understands that there is only a rabbinic mitzvah to daven under normal circumstances, no Torah mitzvah, and that has interesting halachic applications, especially to the issue whether women are obligated to daven or not, which is not for now. But the Rambam says in number 8, mitzvah zasheh lehitpalel. It's a positive mitzvah to daven. B'chol yom, every day, he says, every day just once a day, shenei mar va'avaritem et Hashem elokeichem,
Mipia Shmuel Amdu, we've learned from the oral law, Sha'avoda Zor, he tfilah, this service is tfilah, Shane'emah, Ula Abdu B'chol Avachem, Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said, quoting the Gemara we saw in number 7, Ezehu Avodi Shebeleib, what is service of the mind? Zor Tfilah. That's tfilah. The 8 minyan of tfilahs min haTorah, but the number of tfilahs, Shachrit min Chamarev, that's not from the Torah, that's rabbinic. The ein mishneh atzvila, and the format of the tzvila, is not min haTorah. The ein tzvila zman kavua min haTorah. And it doesn't have any time fixed from the Torah. That's all rabbinic structure that came later. But what's critical for our purposes here is this idea of tzvila for the Rambam is intrinsically linked up with ahava. Tzvila is service done in the mind. Look in number 9, and this will really be the end of the first part of the shir. Davar yadua uboror. It is very clear, says the Rambam, in Hilchas Tshuva at the end. She'ein ahavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikshered b'liboy. How can you get ahava, love of God in a person's mind, which is the essence of tefillah? Ad she'yishke bo tamid. You have to think carefully. You have to focus on it. Karui, appropriately. V'yazov kol ma sheba'olam chutz mimenu. And leave other things aside. Now, again, I'm not getting into exactly what this means. The Rambam doesn't think you should live in a monastery on the top of a hill and contemplate God all of your life. He himself was a very busy man involved in medicine and society and rabbonis, etc. And the only way, says the Rambam, you can love God, and by the way, this is not agreed on by everyone, but let's take the Rambam for now, is by knowing God. The more, the better you know, the more you can love. It's like an individual. You can only love another person if you really get to know them. You can have an infatuation with them if you've never met them, but once you get to know them, you know whether you really like them or not. Okay? Im at ma'at, im harbe harbe. The only way you can daven, says the Rambam, is to love God. The only way you can love God is to have a correct understanding of God, and therefore if you're davening through a malach, you're not doing anything, because the whole thing is based on a false premise. Your whole conception of how to address God, says the Rambam, is based on a completely untenable and incorrect assumption, which is that you can go through this, so don't go through this. So you're not davening at all. Not only are you not davening at all, but you're a heretic, says the Rambam. Look in number 10. The stakes are very high. It's not just a philosophical problem. It's not just an issue of doing the Issur of Avodah Zorah, which is obviously very serious. But says number 10, the Elohim she'ein lehem chelek la'olam haba. The following people, he says in Hilchos Tshuva, in the third chapter, have no place in the world to come. Ela nichrotim, they are cut off. There is no life for them after death. The oivdim, and they're lost. The nidonim, and they're judged. Al goydel risham, on their great wickedness. The chafasam, and their sin. La'olam uli olmei olamim. I don't think he's happy. Okay? This is one of them. Haminim. People who are amin. Who is amin? Chamishahem nikra minim. There are five types of people called minim, and one of them is ha'ayved kachav umagol, someone who worships a star or a constellation, v'zulata or anything like that. Kedei lihiyot melech, so that it will be an intermediary beino or bein ribon ha'alamim. He doesn't say someone who worships a stone or a statue, or someone who thinks there are five gods. That's another one of them. Here he's talking about someone who wants to connect with God, has all the correct understandings of God, but they want to use an angel to get to God. Kol echad mechamisha eluhu min. The stakes for the Rambam are enormous. Not only does this person not have a place in the world to come, but they are not Jewish. The Rambam's understanding of who is a Jew is someone who believes and accepts the Yud Gimel Ikrim. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, says the Rambam, clearly we don't owe these people any Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. They just leave Klal Yisrael. So according to the Rambam, if you say Machnisei Rachamim and you ask the Malachim intently and intensely to take your tefillah to God, that's not a good thing. You are over on the Issa Doraisa of Avodah Zorah. You have no chelik in Olam Haba. You have no place in the Jewish people. Next time you play Machnisei Rachamim on YouTube, think about that, okay? And therefore, what's going on here? Why do we still have it? Most Slichos books have a little note under Machnisei Rachamim that say, some people say that you shouldn't say Machnisei Rachamim. Some people say? I never saw a Slichos book that says, some people say that if you say this, you have no place in the world to come, you are not Jewish.
You choose. You know, I never saw that. Interesting, I grew up on the Rosenfeld Slichas, the English one. There's a little footnote there that says, some people say you shouldn't say this, but it's wrong and you should say this, and everybody thinks you should say this, and or not everybody, but a lot of people. So we're going to see that there was a big lash back against, you know, the Rambam to say, hey, this is not correct. Let's first of all have a look at some issues of prayer in Malachim and Tanakh. The Malachim are mentioned hundreds of times in Tanakh. It's not, the word malach just means a messenger. It's not always clear, intentionally so, whether that is a human messenger or whether it is a superhuman or metaphysical messenger, and sometimes it seems to morph from one to the other. It's not always clear in Tanakh whether it's God speaking or whether it's the malach speaking. Sometimes it starts, it says the malach speaks, sometimes God speaks. Think of the Akedah, where God tells Avram Avinu to bring Yitzchak, and then at the end it's the malach that speaks that says not to bring Yitzchak. Is that the same voice? Is that not the same voice? But there are many examples when malachim are not just mentioned, but we ask them for things. Look at number 11 for a second. Yaakov Avinu is fighting an ish that turns out to be more than just a regular ish. There was a man fighting with them ad alot ha-shachar until the morning. The man saw he couldn't beat Yaakov, and he kicked him in the thigh. But Taka Kaf Yerech Yaakov, and it was dislocated, etc., by Avakim, or when he was fighting. But Yomesh Shalcheini, the Malach, we now know this is some kind of a Malach, said, send me away, let me go. Ki Allah Ashachar, because it's morning. But Yomesh Lo Ashalechacha, ki Im Berachtani. I want you to give me a bracha. Now, what does Yaakov think? Yaakov thinks this is a man, maybe. Yaakov thinks this is a Malach, maybe. But he's asking him for a bracha. Later, he explicitly says, number 12, Hamalach Hagoyel Oti Mikol Ra, the Malach that helps me along in life, Yuvarech Et Hanarim. I'm asking the Malach for a bracha for the boys. That's pretty clear, etc. Number 13, later on, when Moshe is taking the Jewish people to through the Midbar, says God to Moshe after the Chet Ha'Egel, Hine Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefanecha. I'm now going to send a Malach in front of you. Lishmar Chavaderech. That Malach is going to be the one who looks after you. Lahaviyacha Lamakam Asher Hachinoti. That Malach will bring you to Israel. Hishame Mipanav. Be very careful with the Malach. Ushma Bekol. Listen to what the Malach says. Al Tamerbo. Don't rebel against the Malach. Ki lo yitzal lifishechem. He won't be forgiving. Ki shmi bekirbo. My name is in that Malach. That's interesting. Now, God doesn't say to Moshe, daven to the Malach. For sure not. But he says, this Malach's in charge. You do what he says, and you watch out and don't rebel against them. It sounds like the Malachim have actually a significant role to play. And interestingly, but perhaps not surprisingly, when you look through Chazal, when you look through the Gemara, the Talmud, it doesn't sound like the Rambam. It doesn't sound like davening to a Malach is really the worst thing you can ever do. And this is a familiar trope. The idea that where is the Rambam getting his Hashkafa from? Is it coming straight out of Tanakh? Is it coming straight out of Chazal? Or is it coming more out of Aristotle? Is it coming more out of ancient philosophy and modern Islamic philosophy in his time, etc.? And that is a well-known discussion, which I'm not getting into now. We'll see a little bit Rav Hirsch later. But let's look now at what Chazal say. Chazal seems to have a very positive attitude towards speaking to Malachim, unlike the Rambam. Number 14, Amarabba Babachana. Ki have a Zina Bashreda Rabbi Loza, when we used to go with Rabbi Loza, this is Gemara and Shabbos, the Shiuli B'tzicha, when we used to go and visit sick people. Zimnin Amar, sometimes Rabbi Loza used to say, Hamakam Yipakadcha L'Shalom. But may God give you, visit you with peace. That's what you say to someone who is sick. V'zimnin, and sometimes Amar, he'd say, Rachmana Yidikirnach L'Shalom. He'd say it in Aramaic. Why would he say sometimes in Hebrew and sometimes in Aramaic? Well, it depends if the person spoke Hebrew or the person spoke Aramaic. He speaks to people in whatever language was appropriate. Says the Gemara, how could he do such a, how could he daven? How could he say something in Aramaic like that? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say, La'olam al yishal adam shracha b'loshan arami? Never daven in Aramaic. Why? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan explained, Kol ha-shoyl tzracha b'loshan arami, if you ask for what you need in tefillah in Aramaic, Ein malchei ha-shariz nizgakim loy. The angels will not be listening to you. Why? She'ein malchei ha-shariz makirim b'loshan arami. The malachim don't speak Aramaic. Now, there's an interesting discussion here. Is this dafka Aramaic? Neither do we.
Well, it's,
some people speak more Aramaic than others. Just in parentheses, when I was working as a lawyer in London, I had an IT engineer in my firm who admitted to me one day, a guy called John, that his mother tongue was Aramaic. His first language was Aramaic. I said, I find that unlikely that a fellow called John has a mother tongue called Aramaic. He says, I'm not really called John. So I said, really, what are you called? He says, you're called Yohanan. And he was Kurd. He was like from the Syrian-Turkish border. And his first language was Aramaic. So if you want to get to learn Aramaic better, you can either go to Yeshiva for a while. But there again, I tried a bit of my Aramaic from the Gemara on him. It was just a waste of time with my Ashkenazi pronunciation, incorrect, of Aramaic from, 2,000 years ago. He didn't understand a word I was talking about. But you can tune in on the radio to Radio Aramaic if you like. I haven't tried it. Try it, okay? But the Malachim don't speak Aramaic. There's a discussion as to, is this Dafka Aramaic, or does it mean the Malachim only speak Hebrew? Meaning, is English any better? Or is English basically like Aramaic? Don't daven, the Malachim are not listening. Shani Chayle, the Gemara answers, no, it's different with a Chayle. Dishchina imo. Oh, a Chayle is an exception, because when a person visits a sick person, it's as if the Shechina is there with the sick person, so you're not actually speaking to the Malachim in this case, you're speaking directly to God. God understands all languages, don't worry about the Malachim, they're not needed. Rashi says clearly, what does it mean, Shechina imo 15? Eina mitpalel tzarich sheizakakul o malchei asharis. With a sick person, you don't need the Malachim to help you. Lahachnis tfilato lifnim min apargod. Because the Malachim are the ones that bring our tzillas behind the pargod. What's the pargod? Behind the curtain. Meaning, the Malachim are the ones who have access to God. You can't get through the curtain. You need the Malachim to take your tefillah through the curtain.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Maybe not. Okay. But the point is that, what would the Rambam say to this Rashi? Rashi says clearly, the Gemara says you need the Malachim. Another Gemara in Taisa, number 16. Tefillah. Rachmi Utzvila is asking for Rachmi. Whatever you want, you can ask. You can always approach God, says the Gemara, in any time, any place, anywhere, any language. Utzvila b'chol lashem? Really? You can use any language. Same idea of Amar Rabbi Yehuda le'oilem al yishal adam sarachah b'loshem aramis. Never daven in Aramaic. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan kol ha'shul sarachah b'loshem aramis. Ein malachi ha'shul malachi ha'sharis is kachim lo. The malachim can't understand Aramaic. If you say ein malachi ha'sharis makim b'loshem aramis. So what did the Gemara mean when it said you can approach God any time? Lo kasha. Here the Gemara says, have a yachid, have a tzibur. With a tzibur, God's tuned in. You can daven in any language. But with an individual, you better daven in Hebrew, because an individual needs the Malachim. You can't do it on your own. Yeah. Okay, so that's a human being. So a human, we talked about that last week. A human being is a different asking, a chacham, etc., because they're just davening themselves to God to help you. Again, Rashi says, number 17, Yachid Sarish is you, Malchi Asharis. You as an individual need the Malachim to help you. Tzibur Loistriklu. Tzibur doesn't need. And finally, number 18 in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar le'olam yivakesh adam rachamim. You should always ask for mercy. Sheyu kol ma'amatzim et koichoy. That everyone out there should be there to help you. Va'al yehu lo tsarim milamala. Don't have enemies up above. Get friends in high places. Okay? Because if you've got tsarim, you're going to be in tsaros. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Shi'etiyu malchei hasharis. You better hope that the malachim are going to help you. Levakesh rachamim u'shelo yihu yom mastinim milamala. Don't have any people who are working against you above. So it sounds from the Gemara that there's no problem at all talking to malachim. In fact, you better realize that malachim are there to help you, and you better have people on your side. In fact, the Ga'onim pick this up immediately. Rav Shriragon here has a tshuva in number 20, and he points out, he quotes this Gemara, don't daven in Aramaic. It says, is it too hot in here?
Yeah.
A few people, can someone ask the people to just turn the air conditioning a little cooler? Thank you very much. He says, he quotes the Gemara, he says, don't daven in Aramaic. Look in the second line. All the davening that we have, they're living in Babel, from our fathers, from the yeshiva here, it's all in Aramaic. What do you mean, don't daven in Aramaic? No, we don't have much of this yet left. We have a little bit, Yukum Prukam, Min Shemaya, yeah, which we say on Shabbos morning. Uvalitzion Goy, little bits of Aramaic. But that's from the Targum from the Psukim, a little bit different, old Aramaic. He says the following, and here's the answer. Milsa de dipoa adam mil malchi asharis. If you need to address the malachim for help, says the Goyim, al yishal balosh in Aramaic. Don't ask in Aramaic, because Rabbi Yochanan says they don't listen. About milsa de tiboy adam milisne boiro, but things that you need to ask God for, yishal b'chol lashon. Then you have many options. He says clearly, you just have to work out when you come to the davening in the morning. Who do I need to speak to right now? If I need to speak to God, then I can speak in any language. But if I need to address this tefillah to the malachim, then, you know, then I better not speak in Aramaic or this or that, because they don't understand. It's very strange. It seems very clearly this to be the malachim, a part of the system. I brought you in number 21 a tshuva of the Rokeach. And again, I'm not going to read all the way through this tshuva, because there's a lot to say. But the Rokeach says, this was the start, the Rokeach was living in Germany in the 13th century. Look at the top here. It says, Nish'alti al minag tarfat. I was asked about the minag in France, Utsfarad and in Spain, Shin'ar and in Babel, Mitzrayim and in Egypt, the Ashkenaz and in Germany. He's pretty much listed everywhere, apart from Italy and Eretz Israel. But most places, he says, Ashenagu al pi gedole hador, Loima ba serisame tshuva v'toch bakashatam machnise rachamim achnise rachamenu. He said, I've been asked, is it appropriate to say machnise rachamim or not machnise rachamim? Because people are unhappy with this. And then he says in the second paragraph, I'll tell you what my answer is. I find a tshuva. Look in the second line of the second paragraph. V'kira iti tshuva tshela l'rosh yeshivot shebabavel. Again, he quotes the rabbis in Babel. Al atzirat gashamim. What did they used to do when there was no rain in Babel? Eich nohagim. How did they do stuff there? The heshivu laham. And this major gaon in Babel answers them by Ruke at length. Say the hapsilu uvido yukamadvarim. He gives the whole system of how what they used to say. Ulesayt. And at the end, what did they say in Babel? Amru machnise rachamim. They daven to the malachim. Me'olam lo shavnu reikam. Don't turn us away empty-handed. So he says, you see that they used to say machnisei rachamim, not just during slichos, but different versions of it during the year. Ve'ilu hayam mitpalim ka'ov dechamanim ve'alameitim shoylim. And if you're telling me that they're wasting their time, hata'akatam yishma, would their prayers have been heard? Elahoyrid matamim romam. And would they have got rain? Meaning, it works. It works. Don't tell me you can't damage to the malachim, because they did, and they got rain. So if it works, it works. Now, the Rambam would say, like, why do I care if it works? Avodah Zarah might work, but it's wrong, yeah? You can bribe the cashier in Walmart if you know the person and you know what to say, but it doesn't make it right. He says, Hayesh ve'echale goy makshimim. And basically he says, there's nothing wrong with saying machnisei rachamim, and he brings other examples from the Gemara of people who appear to daven to the sun, to the moon. Remember the story of Rebbe Elazar ben Durdoya? This time of year people talk about that when they tell him he can't do tshuva, so he turns to the mountains, please help me, to the sun, to the moon, please help me, etc. And others as well. He talks about the fact that people ask the dead to help them. He says, I don't know what's wrong with this. We ask all sorts of people to help us. In fact, I found a remarkable midrash. Look in number 22. I'd never seen this before, and I wouldn't have believed it unless I found it. The midrash Tanchuma says, Kevin Shiram Moshe She'ein Mashgichim Boy. Moshe Tashis Es Kavveit Chanam. He's told he can't come into Israel. He can't come. Etzel Shemayim Va'aretz. Halach Etzel Shemayim Va'aretz. He went to the heavens and earth. Amalehim, he said, Bikshu Rachamin. Can you help? Halach Etzel Kochavim. He went to the stars and was always in the constellations. Amalehim, Bikshu Alai Rachamim. You daven for me. Halach Etzel Harim Guvat. He went to the mountains and the hills. Amalehim, Bikshu Alai Rachamim. You daven for me. Halach Etzel Hayamagadol, he went to the Mediterranean. I'm not getting into exactly, like, what's he going to get from the Mediterranean, but obviously maybe a koyach when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Bikish Alai Rachamim, daven for me. And eventually, Halach Etzel Sarapnim. He went to the Sarapnim. He's not getting anywhere. Amalei Bikish Alai Rachamim Shaloi Amut. Please help me. I want you to daven that I won't die. Amalei, he said, the Sarapnim turned to him and said, Moshe Rebbe, what are you bothering with all this for? Shamati me'achrei apargud. I've heard from behind the curtain. She'ein tfilafcha nishma b'davazeh. It's not going to help. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Hiniach Moshe Yadav al Roshe, he put his hands on his head, Vahayat Soyek, Boycha, and he screamed and he cried, the Oymen, he said, Etzel me, Eilech Levakish, Alai Rachamim, who's left to ask? Who's left to ask?
But
Hashem!
But Rabbi,
yeah.
The first thing we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu was he talked directly to God.
That's why this is
so
an astounding midrash. It's an astounding midrash. And he says, and at the end it says, Amar of Simlai, but Oysa Shah, at that point when he said, I've no one else to turn to, Nitmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'evra alav, God got angry with him, Shenema, it says, V'yitaber Hashem b'lamankan. Because God turns around and says, what's going on? Now, okay, this is a midrash. This is not meant to be an account of actually what Moshe Rabbeinu did. They put this into the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, but there's no indication here, unless you say that Moshe was wrong, but he shouldn't have been asking all of these other people. But it seems to be that the natural mode of tefillah is, you first ask this, and then you ask this, and then you ask this, and then you ask Hashem. The problem was he didn't ask Hashem at the end. And the Ran actually says, the Ran, who was himself a rationalist in Spain, he talks, who is this Sarapnim? It's Metatron, Metatron. Aval nireh mipshat ha-katuv sheitzavi otanu, number 23, sheninhog kvoid im zeh ha-malach. Who is this malach that God says, be careful with this malach, because he's taking you to Eretz Yisrael? You'll tell me mashenate im malach acher. You have to be careful with this malach more than every other malach. Ki mitzad heyod shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kirbo. Hashem's name is in this malach. Roi sheninhag am imo kvod ma'od. Kavod ma'od. We have to give him a lot of kavod. Just like we treat God. There's a malach that we have to treat just like we treat God. This is Metatron, whose name is just like the name of his... This is a bit disturbing. Who is this Metatron and why are we meant to treat him like we treat Hashem? There seems to be a less clear line. In the Rambam it's very, very clear. This is complete avodah zarah. But in many other places... it seems that there was a much less clear line between Malachim and between Hashem himself in different situations. However, the Rambam has supporters. It's not the end of the road for the Rambam, because there's a Gemara Yerushalmi that seems to come out much harder. All the sources we've seen so far are from the Bavli. The Yerushalmi seems to say something that sounds much more like the Rambam. Look in 24. Rabbi Yudan Amar Mishmei Didei. Rabbi Yudan says, Basar Vadam Yesh Lo Pitaron. Oh, patron, not pitaron, patron. Basar vadam, human beings, they have a patron, it's like a patron. Okay, they have people. Im bat loy etzara, if bad things happen to them, eino nichnas etzlo pitom. They don't go suddenly run into the manager. El abav amad al pitro, they go and stand at the door, shall patron of their supporter, okay? But korel avdo, and they call the servant, or ben beta, or someone who lives there, for who omer, and he can say, ish ploni omed al petach hatzira, there's this guy, he's come to see you. Every rebbe has a shamash, right? You don't run straight into the rebbe. You won't get anywhere, you get thrown out. You go to the shamash, and then you go to the uber shamash, and the uber shamash. You go through a system. Shema machnisai, shema manichai, maybe the shamash can get you in. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein okay. That's not how you treat Hashem, says the Yerushalmi. Im Baal Adam, sorry, if God forbid bad things happen, lo yitzaveich, lo yitzaveich, Michael. Don't start up with Michael, v'lo le Gabriel, and don't start up with Gabriel. El eli yitzaveich, v'ani oine lo miach. Go straight to the manager. Go straight to the boss. Havahudich siv, kol ha'ashay yikra b'shem Hashem, yimalet, potek in yoil. Go straight to Hashem. Clearly, he says, don't even think about going through Malachim. And the Ramban, in number 25 on Chumash, there's something very similar. He says that someone who davens through Malachim is also Avodah Zarah. You may not go through Malachim. He agrees in that sense with the Rambam. He's not the only one. The Sefer Ikrim has this line. The Abar Banel in Rosh Hashanah has this line. The Maram of Rothenburg was unhappy about Machnisei Rachamim as well. But perhaps the most famous comment is the Maharal of Prague. Let's have a look at the Maharal of Prague in number 26, and then I'll tell you an interesting modern application. This is a Maharal. Aval anu noigim loyma machnisei rachamim. Hachnisu rachameinu lifnei bala rachamim. We say this tefillah as a Maharal. Ve'ein zeroi. Don't like it. You shouldn't say it. Ki dava ze ki'ilu mitpalel el malachim sheyachnisu rachameinu v'loy matzanu zeh. Where do we find you can daven through malachim? I don't like it. Ulefi zeroi lahagia. I want to change the wording, he says. If you can just, because he can't stop people saying it because everyone loves singing it, right? So he's going to change the wording. What you should say is machnisei rachamim Yachnisu rachameinu. Change the hey to a yud. What does that achieve? Because if you say machnisu rachamim hachnisu, you're addressing the malachim. Bring in my prayer. Whereas if you say yachnisu, it's they should bring in my prayer, you're talking to Hashem. That the malachim should bring in the prayer. Mashmi tzvila yashmiu tzvilaseinu, machnise dima yachnisu dimoseinu. He just changed all the haste to a yud. Ulakach yishtadu v'yirbu tzchinu v'bakasha, v'kach roi shehatzvila hi, al Hashem yisparach shemachnise rachamim yachnisu rachamenu. Okay, what's in your Tzlichus book? Hachnisu or yachnisu? Go home and check. Probably hachnisu. I found a very interesting machloikus. The famous nigun, you know, machni se rachamim, that one. So there's a machloikus between Mordechai ben David and Avram Fried. Mordechai ben David has the original nusach of hachnisu. He speaks to the malachim. Avram Fried changed it to the Maharal's nusach. Very interesting. Now, I don't know whether, I didn't call them up and ask them whether their personal hashkofas on the issue influenced the choice of words, but I listened to a number of recordings, and Mordechai ben David says hachnisu, and Avram Fried says yachnisu. So there you are, you see. You never thought you'd get a machlokas of that nature in the shir. But there are more people as well. Go over to page 6. The Korban Nasanel objected to other things. Masha Omrim ba'oisa pizman. There's a slicha that we say on the third day of the Aseret Meshuvah, which has in it Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanon, Erech, Apayim, V'rav Chesed, V'emet. They call it the Slicha of the Yud Gimel Midas. It has Charuze, it has in it, Litle Koincha, Tichanateinu, Hipili, Apili. And you address the Malachim to take your tefillah up. That's in that Slicha. Charuze Zol, Lo Yishare Etzli. I don't like that. Shinir Kimit Palel Emtsoi. It looks like you're davening to an intermediary. Quotes the Rambam. You can't do that. You have to change that. You have to take it out. But again, it's still in the books in the way it was originally, in the way that he didn't like. The Chasan Sofer gave up trying to persuade his Kehillah not to say it, but he had another Eitzah, number 28. Our community in Pressburg says it. Ach machnise rachamim darki, my own practice, he says, laharich benevilas apayim, I say a really long tachanon, okay, ad shehigia shlich tzibur l'shomei Yisrael, and I kind of dodge the issue. I just have a very long tachanon, and then by the time they get to machnise rachamim, I'm still down on my arm, and by the time I get up, they finished it already. That's how I avoid the problem. And Rabbi Kiva Eger expressed the same idea. And I don't know if there are people who still do that. Look around in shul. See if there are people who do extra long tachanons during slichas, and you'll know, you'll go, ah, you're one of them. Right, I understand what's going on here. There are other applications of this. In the famous Midrash number 29, Tani Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda Omer, Shnei Malchei Asharis Malavin Loi La'adam Be'erev Shabbos Mibeis HaKnesses Lebeisah. Two Malachim are coming with you on the way home on Friday night. The truth is they're with you all the time. But Friday night you can sense them maybe a little. Echad Tayve Echad Ra. When you come home and it's all beautiful and, you know, everyone's sitting in that glow, radiant glow, good Shabbos Abba, good Shabbos Imma, etc. Malach Tov Omer Yihirotz and Shitehei LeShabbos Acheret Kach. The good Malach says, please God, it should be like this. Next week, or Malach Ra, Omer Amein Bal Korcha. And the Malach Ra has to say yes, even though he doesn't want it. The Imlad, but if you get home and the kids are throwing food around the room and everyone's screaming and everything's on the floor and everything's going nuts, Malach Ra Omer, the bad angel, says, Yihirotzen Shitehei LeShabbos Acheret Kach. Please God, it'll be like this next Shabbos too. Umalach Tov Oine Amen, and the good Malach has to say Amen Bal Korcha. Whatever this means, which I'm not getting into decoding this Midrash, which we have to if we're doing it properly, there seems to be Malachim, the Gemara, saying, accompany us and walking around with us, and we uniquely on Shabbos speak to them. Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Hashareis. That nigun of Shalom Aleichem comes out of this Gemara, that we turn to these two Malachim, Malachei Hashareis, and say to them, hello, Boachem l'shalom, welcome, Seifchem l'shalom. But as I mentioned last week, there are some people who will not say, Baruchuni l'shalom. And they go straight from Boachem l'shalom to Seifchem l'shalom. I had this on Friday night at a person's home a few weeks ago, and they missed out Baruchuni. And at first I said, oh, you've missed that. Because half the people miss out half the verses anyway because they're so tired on Friday night. They don't know where they are. They're all smished. But and then I said, oh, you missed out Baruch Huni. And then he gave me that kind of nod. I said, oh, okay, fine. You know, you on purpose. Because that's the minhag Grah. The minhag of the Grah, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, brings down that he didn't say Baruch Huni L'Shalom. There are others clearly that do say it. There are people at the end of Shalom Aleichem that say the pasuk Kimalachav Yitzavelach Lishmarcha B'chol Derachecha Hashem Yishmo Tzedek Vo'echo Mi'atav Yadalan. I say that the reason they put that in, it's in the benches often, is to make a point of saying, don't think that I think that the Malachim are the people that really achieve and things that achieve, because Hashem is over the Malachim. That's why they put that in. But nevertheless, there are people who don't say Baruchuni L'Shalom. Rav Misas of North Africa has in one of his tshuvas that somebody took him to task on Friday night when he was singing Baruchuni L'Shalom and said, Rabbi, are you really meant to be saying that? And he has a very interesting analysis. He says, well, the Rambam and the Ramban probably only said what they said back in the day when people were very superstitious and they were very concerned about it. Nobody really believes in Malachim that way anymore, and therefore probably if they were around today they'd be okay with it. That's very interesting, because what you've got there, he doesn't want to turn around and say we don't paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam is not that halacha, because how can, on the one hand, how can you reject the Rambam? On the other hand, we don't seem to follow the Rambam. That's one of the dichotomies in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. If you ask Orthodox people, do we believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrim? Oh yes, absolutely. Of the Rambam, absolutely. What are they? They may be even able to tell you what they are. But when you look at what the Rambam himself actually said they mean, most people don't believe that. Meaning the Rambam didn't say you can believe any version of what you think the Yud Gimel Ikrim are, whoever you are. He said, no, you have to believe my version of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And actually we don't do that anymore, in many cases. I'm not getting into that right now, but that's one of the interesting questions that comes up. So you can decide what you're saying on Friday night, whether you're asking the Malachim or not asking the Malachim. In the 19th century, this whole question of Machnisei Rachamim took on a new urgency, because the Reform movement started cutting bits out of the Siddur. One of the first things to go were all the Piyutim, the Yotras, and all of that stuff that's still in small print in very old Siddurim, but almost nobody says anymore. Because they said, you know, it's long and it's boring and nobody's interested. And anyway, some of it's against the Rambam's fifth Ikkah. Particularly Abraham Geiger made a big push and said, you Orthodox people think you're so Orthodox, what you're saying here actually means you have no place in the world to come. And then the Orthodox world, so-called, as it were, that took on that name, had to then decide what to do. Because whereas there'd been people up until then that said, you know, Chinami, you're right, we shouldn't say this. Now, if you don't say it, it's like you're basically accepting the claims of the Reform movement. And now people have to start taking more entrenched positions because of that, which is very interesting. Now, whether you feel that the right approach, the wrong approach, that's a good question. But this started to happen, and I brought you Rav Yehuda Asad, who was the Chasam Sofer's successor in Hungary, even though the Chasam Sofer himself said, I don't like Machnisei Rachamim. I do a long tachanun. Rav Asad said no. He said, Ufi ani asdaiti number 30, Mekoran shal rishonim ke malachim torelei. These people who wrote these tunes were like malachim. And you see in the Gemara, people have no problem with this. We do what our rabbis used to do. We want to be like them, with them. Basically, he says, we're not going to change anything now. Even if we thought we might change something, now we're not going to change anything at all. Rav Hirsch. Now, Rav Hirsch is in Germany. In a very rationalist world of philosophical thought, what would Rav Hirsch say about Machnisei Rachamim? Well, actually, there's a tshuva that wasn't printed in his tshuvas, but it came out a few years ago. Rav Sprecher brings it in his article. The background is fascinating. If you're into Anglo-Jewish politics, then you'll understand this well. In 1879, the leaders of the United Synagogue approached Rabbi Nathan Marcus Adler, who was the chief rabbi, and said, we want to cut some stuff out of the Siddur, especially some of these slichos, some of these pizmonim and the piyutim, etc. We want to cut some of that out. Rabbi Adler was nervous and unhappy to cut it out. His son, Rabbi Herman Adler, was more keen to actually start cutting things out. Eventually, Rabbi Nathan Marcus Adler was persuaded to make the change in the United... This was before the Singer Siddur. If there was such a thing before the Singer Siddur, if anyone knows the English, the Singer Siddur, this was before Singer wrote the Siddur. But the, whatever the United Synagogue Siddur was, they changed it, and they cut it out. This sparked off a backlash from a group of people who said, you can't do this, we're going to break away from the United Synagogue. One of those people was Rabbi Michael Levy. Rabbi Michael Levy was living in London at the time, an Englishman. He was married to the daughter of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch had a daughter called Jenny, and she was married to Rabbi Michael Levy, and they lived, I think, in Birmingham at the time. And people pressured Levy and said, you've got to form a breakaway group. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. And eventually they did. It was called the Machziki Hadas. This is how the Machziki Hadas was found in London. And eventually they had the whole Heksher, the Kedatia Heksher, etc. But this was one of the defining moments where they pushed them over the edge. Rabbi Levy wrote to his father-in-law, Rav Hirsch, and says, what do you think? What do you think we should do? We should make an alternative community, an Austrittsgemeinde. Should we do Austrittsgemeinde in London as well? It worked for you in Frankfurt. Should we do it here? Rav Hirsch wrote a tshuva, and I'll leave you to read it mostly on your own, here in number 31. Rav Hirsch wrote back to him and said, yes, you should make your own community, Mazel and Brocha, and your own school as well, okay? And as far as Machnisei Racham is concerned, what's wrong with it? And he launches an entire defense. He says, we daven to angels all the time, and he brings the court in Shas, from here, from there. He says, this is something, look at the first line, Be'inyin Machnisei Rachamim Zehu Inyin Ahuv. This is a well-liked, you know, hobby horse, Al-Hakalim V'Hachatsufim. People who are low-life, chutzpedik people, they pounce on Machnisei Rachamim and they get all from when it comes to Machnisei Rachamim, whereas they're destroying Judaism in other ways. He said, I don't see a problem with Machnisei Rachamim, and he absolutely, fully defends it. No problem with davening to Malachim, supported by the classic sources. Very, very fascinating. You know, today, what do people do? So I brought you a reference to an article by Shlomo Brody, Rabbi Shlomo Brody, who some people probably know. He's a bit of an old Litvak. He's not old, he's a young man, but he has this very, very interesting article where he says, these days everybody basically just likes a big sing-song, and they love the nigunim, and they want more neshama, and basically everyone's now swaying, seeing Machnisei Rachamim, and what has really resolved this 1,200-year-old philosophical debate is our need for a good Kalbach, you know, experience. And he says that's a bit strange that should be the machria in the end, and I hear what he's saying, but today everyone likes the songs and they sing them, and I'm not sure everyone thinks about the philosophical debate. They're more into the emotional, psychological need for God. Okay, that's a good question as to whether that works. Rav Moshe Feinstein also debates this, and he doesn't reach a conclusion. He says, on the one hand, davening to Malachim is worse than davening to dead people. We talked about that last week. Because when it comes to dead people, no one really thinks that they are intermediaries in that sense. They don't have positions of power. But when it comes to Malachim, people might make a real serious theological mistake. He says, on the other hand, it's probably better to daven to Malachim. Because Malachim, at the end of the day, are the beings that make all the running. Dead people aren't part of the system. So why are you davening to a dead person? What's that achieving? But Malachim, they are the intermediaries. They are the bureaucrats. And in a sense, God runs the world through Malachim, and therefore maybe it makes sense to daven to them. And that's what I just want to end with. In the last 5 minutes of the shir, I want to just talk for just a few minutes about what Malachim really do. In terms of Machnisei Rachamim, you know, you pay your money, you take your choice. Depends on what people do. I think most people say it these days. Although the Rambam would clearly say that that's completely unacceptable. But let's not forget that Malachim are really important. I brought you a long piece in 33 from the Rambam where he talks about what Malachim do. And he describes the different levels of Malachim. This is not Kabbalah. This is not mysticism. The Rambam was not a mystic and the Rambam was not a Mekubal. At least it seems that he wasn't a Mekubal. And he talks about different levels of Malachim. Have a look, for example, in Zion, in the middle of number 33. And this is in Halacha. This is his Halacha Sefer. He understands that in order to be a Halachic Jew, you've got to get your Malachim clear in your head. Some of the Malachim have the name of Chayas HaKodesh. They're the highest. And then there's Oifanim, the Eirelim, the Chashmalim, the Seraphim, Umalachim, the Elohim, Ubnei Elohim, Ukruvim, the Ishim. He says, you've got to know, there are 10 levels of Malachim. Kol elu asara Hashem shenikru b'hem malachim al shein etamalo shehem shalahem hein. There are the 10 levels of malachim. Umala she'ein lemala mimenu ela malas hakel baruchu. That the highest level closest to God, he mala hatsura shenikru chayas. These are the ones called chayas. The tikach nema b'nevuah shehem tachat kisei hakovod. That's why those animal faces, if you like, appear in Yechezkel's vision under the chariot, under the throne of God. That's not because they're animals, it's because they are these chayos hakodesh. Umala asirid, and the lowest level, he mala tatsurish and nikra ishim, this is the level of ishim, he malachim hamadabrim im hanavim. They are the ones that speak to the nevim. V'nirim lahem b'mare hanavu, and that's why they're called ishim, because they appear as more like people. If ikach nikra ishim, shemalazim krova lamala, that's fine. So don't think that the Rambam doesn't want us to understand malachim. He absolutely does. For the Rambam, though, the point of malachim is that malachim are the intermediaries that perform the work. God doesn't micromanage the world. God uses a system, and he says it's very important to understand that system. And some of those malachim we call nature. Gravity is a kind of malach. You throw a pen in the air, the pen falls down. That's not God intervening in the world. That's God setting up a system which actually has intermediaries in that system. You can't daven to them. You can't pray to gravity to help you. You can't daven to a malach to help you. But don't think that there is nothing in between. This, by the way, is a very important point, because the Rambam creates a vision of the universe which is very natural, which has a lot of nature, with a lot of teva in it, and doesn't need miracles of a supernatural nature, etc. But don't think that malachim are not there with us. In fact, the Gemara has a very interesting piece in number 36. Let's look at 36. When you go to the bathroom, what should you do before the bathroom and after the bathroom? So after the bathroom, the Gemara says, you make a bracha, right? Asher yatzer. Before, number 36, hanichnas lebeis hakiseh. What should you say before you walk in the bathroom? Omer, you should say, hitkabdu mechubadim. O honorable ones, kadoshim mashasi elyon. You talk to malachim. Tzenu kavod le'elohei Yisrael, give kavod to Hashem, harpu imeni, just leave me for a minute, hashem karnes ve'ezeh ritzoni, I've got to do my business in the bathroom, okay, va'abo alechem, I'll be back as soon as I can. But please, you know, don't come in the bathroom with me, because it's not for you, it's just for me. Amar Abaya, Abaya turns around and says, no, lo'elei me'enish hachi, don't say, don't come in, don't say, leave me. Dil mashav ki le'elazli, maybe the malachim will leave and not come back. You need those guys, you need the malachim there. Elalema say, Shamruni, Shamruni, Azruni, Azruni, Samchuni, Samchuni, Hamtinuli, Hamtinuli, wait for me, wait for me, wait for me. Achikanis ve'etse, shekol darkan shel b'nei adam, because what can I do? I have to use the bathroom, I have no choice. You have no need of the bathroom, but I do. You have to speak to the malachim. Now, what would the Rambam say about that? The answer is, absolutely. The Rambam paskens that halacha, number 37. Calls man shikanes lebeis hakiseh. Every time you go to the bathroom, I mekadim shikanes hitkavdu muchubadim kadoshim mishasi elyon azruni azruni shamruni shamruni. He says the Rambam, when he went to the bathroom, addressed the malachim before he walked in. Very, very interesting. Does anybody do that today? Does anyone you know do that today? It's hard enough sometimes to have to make a bracha. You know, you're in the workplace, whatever. You're making an asher yatzar, and like, who are you talking to, and what are you muttering about, etc. To have to now say shamruni, shamruni, azuni, azuni, like, who are you talking to? Well, I'm just talking to the malachim before I go to the bathroom. They'll start to remove all sharp objects from your workplace. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see a very interesting thing. Says the Shulchan Aruch 38, Kishi kaneis lebeis hakiseh, when you go to the bathroom, yomei you say, hitkabdu b'chubad, he brings it. From the Rambam, from the Gemara, you should say this, v'achshav lo nagu la'omer, but now we don't do that. Well, that's very interesting. Why did you just bring me a halacha to say that now we don't do that? The Shulchan Aruch is a practical halachic guide. There are 1,000 things he could have said, well, in theory we should do this, but we don't do that now. We don't bring korbanos now. He doesn't mention, because he's not mentioning theoretical things, so why would he say, we do it, but we don't do it? And the answer is, the Aruch HaShulchan says, we do, he puts that in, because even though it's a chutzpah to say, I can sense the malachim, I know the malachim are there, so I'm going to talk to the malachim. It's yura, it's arrogance to insinuate that you can speak to malachim, but you should at least know the malachim are there. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch wants you to know. You can't speak to them because that looks ridiculous. Although he brings down in 41 that it's a segula. If you can't, segula is next week, so well, that's a good segue. If you can't stop thinking about Divrei Torah in the bathroom, it's just something you can't stop doing. So then he says you should say this to the Malachim because it'll help you. But what's very interesting is he's telling us that we should have a consciousness of Malachim. And I just want to finish with the Magen Avraham in 39. He brings here, Sha'afkash mitpalel b'yachid. When you're davening on your own, Yoma acha oisei shalom, you take 3 steps back and say, oisei shalom b'mramav v'yichah shalom aleinu, v'akol Yisrael, v'imru amein. Now, when the Chazan says Kaddish, he says, v'imru amein means, you the people should say amein. When you're davening on your own, who are you talking to? Who are you telling to say amein? Sha'oime came the malachim hashem imam. You're speaking to the malachim. Because even though, you know, we don't really speak to the Malachim. They're there, and we do. And when we're coming out of our private Shemona Esrei, we give ourselves the latitude to actually talk for a second to the Malachim and ask them to say Amen. So Malachim are around us. And even though we shouldn't daven to them, and Machnitei Rachamim, you can work out for yourself based on what we've said, I think it's important to have that awareness. And I think it's a very interesting aspect of Judaism we don't often talk about. Next week, Segulas, and you can come with your Segulas stories and see if we can resolve them. All the best. Have a great week. And Ksiva Chesima Tova. People should have a wonderful Shana Tova Masuka.
Oh, talk about that.